Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Canvas Church. Excited to be in church today? All right. Well, hey, you know what? We're continuing with the series Dream Again, and also middle school. You guys could be dismissed to go to your class. Woo-woo! Come on, give it up for our middle schoolers! You know, I'm excited about what God is doing. Just, you know, some of you have been on the journey for a long time. We've been on this journey over a year with Canvas. And you know what? Let me just share something. God is doing something powerful here. There's people who are getting a hold of God. They're getting restored. They're getting saved. And people are getting their devotionals, and they're getting hooked up with God and growing in their walk. And you know what? We believe God has given Canvas an assignment for this area. And you know what? Lock arms. Get connected. Get in a small group. Grow in your faith. Serve however, whatever it takes, guys. Just, you know what? It's exciting to be a part of the early stages of something powerful I know God's going to do here at Canvas. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. So, guys, we're continuing with the series on Dream Again. Have you been enjoying that? Yeah. Well, why do we need to dream again? It's more than a series. It's a word from God for Canvas Church. Why we need to dream again? Dreams are the language of God. And third, why do we need to dream again? Because God has more for your life. How many of you know that none of us is maxed out right now? God is, we're still becoming to the fullness of what God has for us. Amen. We're just growing from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Amen. So dream again. However, this is significant because there's times in our life where we get to a place where we feel like we're stunted in where we're at with God. Is God even moving? Is God even there? Or you may have taken how many have ever taken a bad detour in your walk with God, and it was your choice, and it's like, oh, dang, and you went and ended up in a wilderness, and you're like, how in the world did I get here? But just even if you've made bad decisions or the devil did some things, and God, how many realize God, he allows U-turns and do-overs? Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Well, today's message title is, It's Not Over. It's Not Over. And last week, Pastor Ben, and this awesome deal doing is building on what Pastor Ben started last week. And as he told me about a month ago that I was going to be preaching today, so I've just kind of been chewing on some things and praying, Lord, what direction do we need to go? And as he spoke last week, that just confirms from where I felt God was speaking to me about and building on where he left off last week. So we're going to pick up right here in John chapter 21. And just to give you a brief context where we're at in the scripture right here, Jesus has risen from the dead. And he is making himself known. We have Mary Magdalene who showed up at the tomb. He wasn't there. An angel says, he's not here, but he has risen. Yes, he has risen. And the angel said, go tell the disciples that he's not dead, that he is alive. She goes and tells the disciples. They run to the tomb, and John, who's the author of the gospel, makes point that I outran Peter to the tomb. I got there first. And Peter shows up, and they see that he's not there. They begin to wonder, is he alive? What's going on? So bewilderment. And then Jesus shows up and begins to show them different things and that he is alive. He's the risen one. And so we're picking up right here in John chapter 21, verse 1, and here we go. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's son, and two others of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 5, men, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered, cast the net on the right side of the boat. He told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciples, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer garment around him, for he was stripped, and plunged into the sea. Then we're going to jump to verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" "Jesus, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," Jesus said. Verse 16, a second time, Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep," he told him. Verse 17, he asked him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, it's sharp and it pierces. And it exhorts and encourages. It corrects. It brings hope and comfort. And I thank you, Lord, that your word sets free. Your truth will set free today. So I thank you, Lord God, that we will exalt your name today. We have ears to hear and hearts to respond. Lord, I ask that you bless me as I speak. May I speak it clearly and accurately as you've given it. In Jesus' name. And they all said, come on, slap someone. Give somebody a high five. Say, it's not over. Don't slap them in the face. Just slap their hand. Some of you got slapped in the face on that one. Sorry about that one. Last week, Pastor Ben, he talked on, anybody remember? Come on. Who knows? Some of you looking back in your app. That's cheating. Last week was overcoming disappointment and doubt. And, you know, as I pondered on what Pastor Ben spoke along with what the Lord had been dealing with me, what to share, and the Lord told me to share on discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged in this place? Last week, Pastor Ben gave this definition for disappointment. It says, the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes and expectation. Unfulfilled expectation causes disappointment. Amen? Your marriage isn't what I thought it was going to be. This job isn't what I thought it was. Having these kids is not what I thought it was going to be. Living here was not what I thought it was going to be. Anybody been there? Discouragement, the definition, a loss of confidence and enthusiasm. Discouraged when your enthusiasm and optimism have been replaced by disheartenment, doubt, and negativity. Basically, disappointment, you know, there's things, as Pastor Ben pointed out last week, I'll never go shopping at Horton Plaza as if I ever shop, but I won't go to Horton. No, I'm just But life has its way, and this walk with God just doesn't unfold as you thought. Have you found that one out? It just doesn't happen the way, you know, this color, this storytelling, you know, it's not a Cinderella story. It's like, oh, what the heck? Cinderella, you know, she's in trouble, and it just doesn't pan out the way the story says. But you know what? Because of disappointment, if you've been praying, let's say you were praying for your healing, you were praying for a new job, you're praying for that relationship, and yeah, you were encouraged for 3 days, but then it stemmed out to a week, and you didn't see the results, the favored results, you thought, and then sometimes it stems out to a month, and you didn't see the favored results, and then sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's a year or two, sometimes, right? And that repeated disappointment leads to discouragement. Discouragement. So I'm looking at, we just read about Peter. Peter, as you know, he's that strong-willed child. You know, Peter's very strong and opinionated. In fact, he would have loved our iPhone for having all the reviews on the websites that you can give and all the apps. He would have been the one giving all the reviews and speaking what he thought. Peter was always the one who had the last word. Some of you are saying, that's my spouse. Peter always had something to say. In fact, when I went through, you just put in Peter. Look at all the times he reacted or responded and talked back to Jesus. I mean, even God had to interrupt him on the Mount Transfiguration. You know, he saw Elijah and Moses and this incredible Jesus. Garments were white as snow. And Peter wakes up and he's like, this is amazing. Let's make three tabernacles, for one for each one of these guys. And it says, as he spoke and he was making the plans, God interrupted him. Peter, be quiet, basically. Because Peter always had to say the last word. In fact, you know, he had a great revelation, and Jesus is saying, you know, in fact, this is one of the good things that Peter replied, but then it ended up bad, because Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. You know, he's sitting there, he's proud, he gave his answer, and Jesus said to him, he says, you're right, Peter, but flesh and blood has not showed you this, but my Father has revealed this to you. And really, he says, and the gates of hell, and upon you, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he says, you are Peter the rock, and this whole thing. And Peter's, you know, thank you very much to the disciples. See, I told you I was the more spiritual one. And then in the next breath, Jesus is telling his disciples, guys, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be delivered up to the high priest. And, of course, Peter feels like he's feeling pretty good about himself and steps up. Not so, Lord. It's not going to happen. And Peter looks at him and says, you're not saying, you're an offense to me, and you're not saying the things of God. Get behind me, Satan. That's Peter. Peter can talk. And Peter had ambition. And Jesus saw the potential. And Peter was the most significant disciple at the birthing of the early church. However, Peter had a lot of confidence in his ability. He had a lot of confidence in himself. In fact, when Jesus got down and he was in the place of the Garden of Gethsemane, and right before his death, he tells his disciples, he says, they're going to smite me. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to suffer. And you are going to be scattered. And Peter said, though all these guys are going to scatter, not me, Lord. Not, they may, not me. And Peter and Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. So as we pick up right here, everything Jesus said was true. So he asked Peter, do you love me? He says, you know all things, Lord. I love you. There's not a play on words, but Jesus is saying, do you love me? And the Greek word is agape, unconditional, the kind of love which God loves us. And Peter answers and says, Lord, you know that I love you. That Greek word there is phileo. And phileo means I'm fond of, friendship. A very limited love. And Jesus is saying, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter's saying, I phileo you. He says, feed my sheep. And then the last time, Jesus just says, Peter, do you phileo me? He says, yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. And I believe Peter is discouraged because he made a promise. And he said it in front of his disciples. And the one who he said he loved, he denied in the midst of a little girl. He even cussed to some of the Jews that said, you were with him. He said, no, I wasn't. And he got bleeped out in the Bible right there with words he used, trying to fit in. But he's discouraged at this point. I think, you know what? I'm a failure. I'm a disappointment. And I'm discouraged. But hear me out, guys. It doesn't matter where we've been and the failures that we've encountered, and we've gone. I mean, sometimes, here's the frustrating thing. Sometimes you can say, I'm not going to do this. And then you repent. And then after 150 times, you repent again. 151, you repent. And 153, and 154, and 155, and you get discouraged. How can God use a person like me? Ever felt that way? Ever felt discouraged? felt like you disqualified yourself. And you know what Jesus is saying to Peter? He's saying, no, listen, anytime the Bible talks about love, it's talking about relationship. It's talking about your interaction with God. He's saying, love me, Peter. Fall in love with me. Fellowship with me. Learn my ways. Follow my deeds. See my conduct. And worship me, Peter. He says, stay in that place of relationship. And feed my sheep is saying, and do my work. Love me, do my work. Love me, do my work. He was restoring Peter. Amen. And that's true for all of us. God has not disqualified or eliminated not a one of us. Amen. That's such good news. Discouragement comes to us all. It comes to us all. In fact, discouragement. Discouragement can come when we've prayed, confessed the word, and even gone to church and do not see the favorable results. Been there? How many have been praying for something? You've been doing all the right things that you're told. Read the Bible, pray, go to church. Read the Bible, pray, go to church. Read the Bible, pray, go to church. You know what you need to do? Read the Bible, pray, go to church. And keep standing. Amen. Discouragement comes when we keep making the same old mistakes. Discouragement can come because of sin. We saw that in the lives of many people. We saw that in the life of David. We saw that in the life of, who was it? It was Joshua. We saw that in the life of Israel. We see that people missed it, and God wasn't done with them. Amen? Discouragement can come when we fall and realize there is a divine purpose even when we're going through the darkest moment of our lives. There will be some dark moments in your life, but we'll see some things from the Word that will keep us from falling into a place of discouragement and lift us to a place of encouragement, knowing that we will thrive, we will accomplish the will and purpose of God on our life, because it's not over. Amen? You know, there was a while back ago when we first got married, and I was serving at a church. I had some large things in my heart, and God confirmed some things in my heart where we were going. The whole time Deanna and I were dating, we were talking vision, and we're going to do worship. We're going to record. We're going to minister. We're going to do missionary work. You unfold the whole plan and the dreams that are in your heart. And then we get married. I thought marriage was going to be the launching point. And so after about 2 minutes of being married, I'm starting to get discouraged that all this isn't happening. And then we did have a producer, and we started recording. And the guy ends up snaking and stealing $2,000 of my money. And that didn't happen. And then another guy steps in to flake out, and somebody else says they're going to do it, and they flake out. And I'm leading a young adult group, and that's going well, and all these things. And I just wanted to thrive and fly and soar with the Lord. I wanted to do more. But what was happening was small Bible studies, writing songs, and just sinking in my work. I was a respiratory therapist, and I can just remember going to work hours a day, 13 hours a day. How many medical people in here who've been in the medical field? So you know those long days. And I can remember just being around. I just felt like I was just drowning and had ambition in my heart. I was a thoroughbred. I wanted to go one day. I was so kind of discouraged. And like I remember crying, babe, we have all this and nothing's happening. I'm so sorry. I'm no good. Anybody ever have a pity party? I was there. And I just remember the Spirit of God rising up and saying, which one of the men of God in the Bible never experienced any kind of affliction or resistance? And I had to think, and then I started thinking about it. It's like, there's not one man of God in the Bible or woman of God who didn't come against great resistance and affliction and enduring hardship. And you look at Abraham. He believed God for 25 years before he even saw the evidence of it. Joseph, thrown in a pit. God said, your brother's going to bow down to you, right? And it was 13 years before he even saw the palace of Pharaoh. I mean, things just don't happen. So I started to see that, you know, I was feeling a little frustrated and discouraged. I'm starting to cross over into discouragement. And I started to realize that. So finally, a place of contentment rested in my heart. And I said, God, I know you're in control of this. I know that you. But at the same time, when I was drowning in my sorrow, I just saw myself on the river of forgotten. And I was just being swept away with it. And nobody was going to know. I wasn't going to fulfill my calling. And not only that, the only one who's going to remember me is my mom and dad, maybe my wife. And you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all been on that road. You've been on that river and just drowning. But I finally realized God's doing something. He's doing a work. And this is crazy. This is so crazy. And this is one of the things that launched us in music. I thought medical field ministry. I did minister in the hospital a lot, but there were some avenues with music that I knew we were going to go. And one day, here's just the goodness of God and how he sets us up in life. And get ready for a setup, because as you just pursue him, there will be a setup. And one of the things that launches I was working one night in an ER, small hospital. Lady comes in. She's having a horrible asthma attack. She's on the verge of, you know, just passing out. And we resuscitate her and get her back to breathing and comfortable. And it turns out, as I built a relationship, started talking with him, her family comes in. She turns out, get this, where I think I'm the forgotten one. She turns out to be the manager of the Christian TV station, finds out we do music, calls, and we begin to sing on TV in different avenues around the city, and that was the very thing that began to launch us. And it happened in the hospital. You're not forgotten today, guys. You're not forgotten. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not forgotten. So, guys, today, I'm going to talk to you. Defeating discouragement. You know, I really believe discouragement is a choice. It's a choice. Are you going to walk by what you see, or are you going to walk by what you, help me out, believe? And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So defeating discouragement, if you're going to do it, always remember this. Number one. This is not a mystery, but trials will come. Trials will come. Ever been in the place to say, why is this happening? Have you ever gotten mad at God? Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, beloved, do not think it strange. Say strange. Come on, let me hear you. Say strange. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice. Say, but rejoice. To the extent that you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with him exceeding joy. Always remember that they will come. Not a one of us is immune to trials. David and Jonathan, you know, in fact, David had done everything right. David was a worshiper. He was elevated. He was anointed by the prophet. He was placed in position. He was adorned. He slayed Goliath. And it just seemed like in just the next breath, next pages on your Bible, Saul was throwing his spear at him, trying to kill him. In fact, David said to Jonathan, Saul's son, his best friend at the time, he says, why is this happening? Why is your father trying to kill me? You know, in fact, it's actually fun. Anybody ever see the movie Return to Me? Return to Me? You got to see it. It's kind of funny. But a guy at the beginning of the show, I'll tell you all about it right now. Here we go. Then you don't have to go see it. But basically, a man's dearly in love with his wife. She dies. She donates her heart for somebody who needs a heart. The woman who got the heart, she lives. They come across each other's path, and they fall in love, okay? And so anyways, the story goes that they fall in love. She realizes that he has his wife's heart. She's like, you know, that you could imagine what's going on. But she's crying. She's tormented. She's, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And she looks up to heaven with tears. What were you thinking? Ever been there? Listen to this. We got to realize, you know, it's interesting, and we have to talk to ourselves. But every trial that comes, guys, and what causes us to enter into a place of discouragement is because we think, that's the lie of discouragement, we think it's forever. And if you remember this, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, I don't know if Sydney has that or not, but 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, the things which are seen are only temporary. It's temporary. Just remind yourself, it's just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Are eternal. Number two. Defeating discouragement. We got to remember the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We have to realize God is always good. And on top of that goodness, God is always faithful, always. In fact, in the Bible, in Revelation 19, his name is called faithful and true. He doesn't just show faithfulness. He is. His name is faithful. And guys, there's not a one of us that's forgotten. There's not a one of us that he doesn't have some strategic things going on in your life and align some things in your life. Amen? You know, in fact, you know, there was a, as you all know, some of you know our story, but we were the Rock Coastal Hills Church, and we just persevered, my wife, and we had some wonderful leaders and some people here from Coastal Hills, and there was a time we were getting ready to pass the 100 barrier of people, and we had a lot of momentum, a lot of things going on, and within about 8 months, I lost my associate pastor. I lost my guitar player. I lost my sound man. I lost my children's worker. Some of the biggest givers of the church, they moved. And nothing was through strife. It just God was like suddenly like peeling these people away. It's like, And so in the midst of this, we're praying, Lord, we know you called us out here. We know we're called for the broken. We know we're called to fulfill a mission and a purpose here in San Diego. So we were encouraging ourselves. And at the same time, nothing looked that way. We're praying about it. It's like we kept reminding you, it would have been easy to enter into a little bit of discouragement. Out of discouragement. Enter into discouragement. And I know we all play this game. I don't see it, but I believe it. I don't see it. Discouragement. I believe it. And you just, come on, am I talking to somebody here? It's so true. And in the midst of that, I think we're probably close to the discouraged moment. We are having a family day with my kids. And we get a phone call. Actually, the family day, we were probably watching some animated movie, Tangled or something. We get a phone call, and Dion answers. They said, I need to speak with Dion. This is her. It was a nurse from the hospital. Dion had a procedure done. And the nurse said, oh, I just wanted to know if the doctor had already contacted you about your cancer. We're like, what? And I mean, the countenance of all of us. We all stood to our feet and we're looking, what's cancer? Oh, he hasn't called you. Oh, okay. Well, just wait for him to call you. Hang up. What in the world? Why would you make such a call, right? You don't have any specifics. You just know you cancer. We don't know what kind of cancer, where's the cancer, what's it doing, what's its name, all this stuff. Oh, you got cancer. The doctor would be calling you. So we were left. All of a sudden, there's havoc. In our hearts and our souls, what in the world? And we all sit and we start to process and we're praying. And I get so blessed just thinking, and because God was working such a deeper thing. And in that moment, my kids disappeared. And I remember Brendan going, I don't get teary-eyed because of discouragement. I get teary-eyed because of the goodness of God, and I doubted him. because he's doing something incredible, my kids. My kids begin to pray. Call Joel, and they're praying, and they're standing. And Aubrey goes around, and she says she saw a little vision of the Lord as she's riding her bike. And she says, Mama, I just saw God lift that cancer right out of you, and you're going to be all right. And me and Mama are sitting on the stairs, and my little girl comes up to Mama and begins to sing over her. You make me brave. And when you see your kids step up and begin to stand in the line of fire and take those spiritual hits and take a stance, I'm believing for Mama. And in fact, they even got mad, devil. And it turns out, you know, going through the whole process, you know, one procedure, cancer-free. So just saying, God is good. But my point is saying that we miss the goodness of God. God has a plan, and we have to remind ourselves it's for good and not for evil. Which goes to my next point. My next point says, number three, in defeating discouragement, God is working. God is working. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Notice it says all things. It doesn't say all things are good and are working. It says all things will work for the good. You got to hear me today. It's going to work for the good because there's some really tragic things that happened. What happened in Florida was a tragic, demonic thing. That wasn't good, but God and his sovereign power is able to make it work for the good, for his glory. And that's what he's doing in our life. He is working. And just like I saw my kids step up and begin to pray and take a stance, and we're going to stand in faith and we're going to fulfill the purpose. It's not over, Mama. God is working. And we have to realize and give place to the work of God. And listen to me. We have to get out of the way. We have to get out of the way. God has a plan so intricately woven together that we can't even begin to wrap our mind around all the things that he's doing. You realize the plan is bigger than you. It includes other people, like probably thousands of other people, and you're just part of that thread that's helping to fulfill the plan of God. Amen? And so the devil's plan is to get us isolated and so enclosed in our own world that we forget about the kingdom. We forget about community. We forget about the purposes of God. Amen? And that's his plan. God is working. The fourth thing about defeating discouragement. Probably the biggest one. I think I have to be mindful of this one. To defeat discouragement, remember, speak life. Speak life. It's not hard to speak your doubts. It's not hard to speak your discouragements. It's not difficult to find what's wrong in the world. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. You can watch the news for 2.5 minutes and see there's a lot of messed up things going on in this world. And we can jump right along in that flow and speak those things. But God has not called us to go with the flow. But we begin to speak life. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 118:17. 118 verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die. How many of you have diagnosis in this place? I shall not die but live and declare the glory of the Lord. Amen? And there's things over our life, we got to speak life. If you might be in a place where you feel like you're dying and what you're doing as an occupation. You might feel like you're dying as a parent. You might feel like you're dying in your purpose and that you have no call. You begin to speak, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He's working in my life. And I position myself in God today. Amen. We speak life into our situation. In fact, listen, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good to build up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let me ask you something. What are we speaking? Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. You know, and I know some translations actually say, don't let any swearing and cursing and bad language come out of your mouth. But I believe corrupt talk is something that you're speaking things about your life that God is not speaking about you. Amen. We can't afford not to have his thoughts thinking through our mind. What's going through our mind? What, you know, what goes through your mind is coming out your lips. What we fill our lives with, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks or leaks. Right? What are we allowing? Are we speaking our faith? Are we speaking what we believe? Are we speaking our stance? Are we speaking our vision? Amen? Are we speaking all that's wrong and what you disagree with? It's almost a curse today at the just the access on our phones and the internet of all of us being able to give our opinions and reviews and input, because some of that stuff is just so foul, isn't it? I mean, and we let it affect us. If someone doesn't give you a good review, a good comment, man, it could sink you. And it could sink me if we let it. Amen? But allowing things to come and filter through our mind that are of God. Amen. Amen. I don't know why. I just feel like God wants to hammer that in your thinking right now. Listen, Pastor Ben quoted a verse last week in Psalm 43, verse 5. And the psalmist said this, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. He's talking to himself. I'm going to give you a really good nugget. Stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. You can listen to all the noise. You can, you know, it doesn't take long to, you know, identify your shortcomings. I could tell you real quick what are mine. Amen? But just begin to speak who God and what he's doing and elevate that in our lives. Amen? Begin to speak to ourselves and stop listening to ourselves. Amen? I hope you got something out of that one. Speaking to yourself. Thanksgiving. Be thankful. You don't know what to say. Be thankful. Be thankful. You see people at work. How you doing? Right? You see somebody at work. How's your day going? And then, and they'll tell you about the boss and who did what and how what the workload is all about and how you're frustrated with how the organization is doing and how underpaid you are. You can go there. It's like, you know, I'm thankful just to have a job. I'm thankful to be here, and I will flourish where I'm planted. I will flourish here. How about that one? Amen? How about I can do all things? I can do that. We know that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Philippians 4:6, this is be anxious for nothing but with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, this is the will of God concerning you. Give thanks in all things. Amen. Let that begin to play in your mind. Because it's faith. It's trust. God is working. Amen. Watch the things we say. Amen. And the last one here. Last one on defeating discouragement. Remember, don't quit. It's not over. Don't quit. Just that word right there, guys. The other day, I had the opportunity, of all places, I led a lady to the Lord at the Costco gas pump. Pumping gas. And she was so distraught, she couldn't get the pump to flow into her tank. Neither could I for about 10 seconds. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with this one? But she was so distressed. Oh, I don't know. And I finally got it working because I'm a multi-purpose useful guy. Ask my wife. We call the plumber. And I got it to work, but as the gas was working, she starts crying. She starts crying. She says, thank you so much. I'm like, I just got the gas going. That's it. Thank you so much. And she just, I mean, tears. Just, I mean, tears and snots. I mean, it was bad. I was like, what? And so I got to share with her about, you know, you're carrying a weight, and God wants to carry that for you. That's all. He's our burden bearer, amen. And so as we finished up, got to pray with her. She comes to Christ, and she lost it again. I says, sweetheart, listen to me. And here's what she needed to hear. Don't quit. Trouble in marriage? Don't quit. Trying to figure out your purpose in life? Don't quit. Struggling with finances? Don't quit. Don't quit. Listen to this. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we might, maybe, right situation. No, it says, in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. That loose heart is discouragement. Don't allow discouragement. God has too great a plans for every one of us in this room. Don't believe that lie. Don't chew it. Don't follow it. Don't embrace it. Don't believe it. Because the devil's a liar. Amen. In due season, you shall reap. That's a good quote. That's what you could speak. In due season. You know what that means? My season is coming. No, pastor has his season. You know, the people on the praise and worship team, they follow God. You know, they have their seasons. No. You believe and you keep sowing and you keep sowing and you keep believing. You keep sowing. Allow the word to get root in your heart. Keep sowing. In due season, we'll all reap. Grow not weary in well-doing. Grow not weary and well-doing. What's your discouragement? Grow not weary and well-doing. What's your prayer request? Grow not weary and well-doing. He's doing a deep work. Let him do a complete work. Don't grow weary. Come on. And well-doing. You want to defeat discouragement. Number one, don't think it's a strange thing. It comes to us all. God is working something in you. He's getting you to that place of character and perseverance and patience. Two, believe in the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. He has a plan. Three, He's working. That's so comforting. He's working. Four, speak life. And five, everybody, don't quit. Don't quit. Just like Jesus didn't quit on Peter. And he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Let me ask you, do you love me? Do you love me, John? Do you love me, Mike? Do you love me, Susan? Do you love me, Annette? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. In other words, make God that priority. Make his mission, his calling, your pursuit. Amen? Don't get distracted by the noise and all the allurements of our society. Amen. Some of you have been wrestling with discouragement. I promise you, take these tools. Take these tools. You could sum it up from discouragement, just even just this, it's not over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, you know those who are just swimming in discouragement right now. Father, I pray right now, just the anointing and the strength of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, a shifting of perspective. A shifting of focus from the things of this world to the things that are above. Let us really understand and know what matters. Father, you care about our family. You care about our kids more than we could even imagine. You care about our call more than we even care. You care about my soul more than I do. And I pray right now for those who don't see an out. Right now, Lord God, you would begin to confirm it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Hallelujah. It's not over. Glory to God. Come on, let's all stand to our feet. Praise God. Praise God. God, make us ready. You know, there's another thing, the Lord, what I've been believing for, if I was ready, I'd be there. I don't know, that's just a sobering thought and a challenging thought. If I was ready, I'd be there. What are you believing for? If I was ready, I'd be there. So let's position ourselves to be ready. Let's just, let God, do what you need to do. Amen? I tell you, that's a dangerous prayer because he'll rock you. Been there. But I tell you, it's the most fulfilling, the most needful thing of anybody's life. Or just say, God, rock me, because if I am hindering your work because I'm not in the right place, move me now. Position me now. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the callings, the great callings that exist in this room right now. Father, I thank you no longer we will be swayed and deterred by discouragement, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for every discouragement right now. Lord God, we would receive your encouragement. We would recognize that you are working, that you're good and you're faithful, and we're not forgotten. I thank you, God, for doing a new thing in us. You know, if you're here today and you've never made that decision, the Bible says all things work for the good. I quoted that scripture in Romans 8:28. All things work for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But you're not in a place of loving and called according to his purpose because you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You've never fully surrendered. You know, if you have never surrendered yourself to his lordship, I'm telling you, don't wait another day. Today is your day. But if you've never surrendered, you're feeling that place of discouragement, you're ready for change, you're ready to take steps with God, just raise your hand right now. If you, and I'll pray with you. If there's anybody today, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk with God. I'm ready to receive his fullness into my life. Anybody here? I see that hand. I see a few hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, if any of you today, after that invitation, just come down here. We have some of the pastors, we have some of our leaders up here who will pray with you. And I thank you for letting me share the word with you. We've been through those places, some dry places, but you know what? The Bible says in those dry places, he's able to make a river flow. And you know, we've seen the faithfulness of God. I just wasn't trying to make up a good message today because I had nothing to talk about. We've seen, we're eyewitnesses of the faithfulness of God. Keep going with it. Amen. Did you get something today? Praise. Come on, let's give it. Praise God. Well, I'll bless you and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for those here today. I thank you, Lord God, we're out of discouragement into encouragement. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is true. You're not a man that you should lie. And Lord God, we'll put these just these five things into practice and not give place to the devil. So I thank you, Lord God, for your word. Bless our week. Bless our coming and our going. Make us a blessing where we go. May we flourish everywhere we walk. Bless our families. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, they all said.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.